So this week, Apple released the iPhone 4S, and they have a new digital assistant, artificial intelligence named Siri. And in response, Google released the Android version of their digital assistant. It's in the alpha stages, but we got an early build of it, and we're going to give it a, you know, we're going to give a test run here. So here we go. By the way, the name of their assistant is Jamie. It's a, you know, common name. Jamie, where am I?
34.06092 degrees latitude, -118.322001 degrees longitude.
Oh, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I mean, I think those are my coordinates, if I can remember in my head. so let's try another one. Jamie, what is my name?
Scort Jold.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad. All right, we're gonna do a couple more. Jamie, what city are we in right now?
Los Angeles.
All right, this thing is, I think it's working pretty
Mexico.
Well.
Mexico.
Okay, it's a little hiccupy. It's a little hiccupy. We're gonna do one more. We're gonna get a little more into the AI part of this. Jamie, is Santa Claus real?
Are you a moron?
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random foodstuffs. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number
34.
Welcome to Tech Bacon. It is October 15th, middle of the month of October. We are here. I'm joined again by my personal digital assistant, Jamie Dooner.
I don't know if I like that.
It's okay. We, you know, started off the show talking about that. We'll do a quick rundown. The iPhone 4S was released yesterday.
The fours.
You didn't get one, right?
No.
You have a four though, right?
I have a four. Yes.
Gotcha.
I updated the operating system.
You updated to the iOS 5.
Yeah.
And how are you? I mean, I've been kind of playing around with it for the past few months in the developer mode, but as just like a regular user,
it's nice. I mean, you know, it feels. I like
you notice anything different?
You know, just really? Sort of the way it alerts you to messages, you know, is interesting. There's a couple new little features. There's like a to-do list feature, reminders. That's pretty nice. They separated the videos from the music,
right? So that's nice.
Yeah.
What was I going to ask you about? Oh, so as far as the notifications, do you like that drop down that it now has?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, like, you're digging that.
I am.
Yeah. To me, that's like one of the best new, I mean, there's so many new features.
Well, like I hated before, and I didn't hate it. That's a strong word, but I didn't like, you know, you'd leave your phone. You wouldn't have it on you always, or in the morning and you pick it up and it says 3 missed calls. I like that now it tells you, you know, you don't have to go through the pain of touching that part. There's a 3 missed calls to figure
because
out.
Because it's, I mean, so hard. I mean, it's so difficult to do.
Now I could use my eyes instead of my fingers.
Amazing. Amazing. So, you know, the forest came out. The sales have been phenomenal.
A million?
It's something crazy.
In a day or, I mean, something like that?
And like Sprint had their best phone sales day in the history of the company.
Wow.
You know, which is not unexpected. You know, mm-hmm. that was, you know, people, it made sense.
Yeah.
You know, people been clamoring for it. There were lines outside the stores. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't the frenzy of like a new, if it would have been an iPhone 5, but the sales are showing that it was still very, very popular. And I think what is better for Apple in that respect is that it's people that didn't buy an iPhone before, or people that had that like iPhone 3G or 3GS that were upgrading.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not the people with the iPhone 4, which just brings more and more people into the realm.
Right.
Into the iPhone ecosystem.
The realm. Like Middle Earth.
The Apple realm. Now, another thing that was released was the iPod Nano.
Yes.
And we talked a little bit about that last week. And one Mr. James Patrick Dooner sitting across from me is wearing one on his wrist right now.
I do have the Nano Watch. It's pretty fantastic.
Give us a little rundown on it.
It is. I think I described it last week, but it's a little more than an inch by an inch, and it's got the pedometer. It's got iTunes. Or the iPod, not iTunes itself. You can put all your photos on it or a selection of them.
Right.
The clock faces are great. The clock face doesn't stay on all the time. You have to press the...
So it actually goes to sleep
like a computer like your screen. Phone.
Right.
Yeah. And, but that's okay. Like, I'm okay with clicking
just
on
just clicking a button. I mean, is it just like a little tap of one button and it turns on?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is your favorite watch face?
I like some of the more
traditional,
futuristic ones.
Oh, you like
no,
the
yeah,
one. Okay.
Like the weird digital, like something you would buy. I don't know, from Japan in the future.
Right, right. Are you? I mean, do you find you've had it for a week now? I would say, right?
Three or four days. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, are you? Do you find it? You're using it just as a traditional watch most of the time.
Also, I mean, to tell you the truth, I never. I used to have a Shuffle. I've never had a Nano before.
Uh-huh.
And I have been using this also, going on a hike or a walk or whatever.
Right.
As to listen to music.
And have you used the pedometer?
Yeah, yeah, it works great.
That's what it's called, right?
Yeah, a pedometer. Yes.
I'm like, am I totally using the wrong word?
A pedometer. What?
Oh, I got Jamie, the personal assistant, back again.
Right. nice. My only complaint.
Gripe?
My only gripe is that I wish I had a calculator on it.
Right. Which seems like an easy thing that surprises me that they don't.
There's a couple things. I mean, obviously, it would eat up the battery, but I wish it had some sort of antenna to get a Wi-Fi signal, and you could have like a weather app on there.
Right, right.
Like, ultimately, it would echo sort of the widget, like the desktop widget thing on Mac computers now, where you could just have these little, here's the stock market, I mean, everyone has that on their phone already, so why do you need it on your wrist? But it makes me feel like I'm, you know, James Bond or Dick Tracy or something.
It's cool, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it would be a neat thing. Now, the other thing, you and I were talking the other day, and, you know, we were saying, you know, it would be cool if there was a Wi-Fi connection or something where you could get stock quotes and where you could, you know, actually bring up an email or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there isn't. That's not built in, but, you know, it made me think of, you know, a couple of years ago, Microsoft released these, it was called Spot, and it was these Spot devices. They were watches that used a radio band to deliver personalized content.
Hmm.
So it wasn't like a Wi-Fi connection. It was like a radio signal, like an, I don't know if it was FM or whatever it was, but it would deliver stock quotes, email notifications. Like, I don't think you could read the whole email, but it would like show you had an email and show you the subject line. You know, and it would give you the weather.
Well, I mean,
like,
there is a radio antenna on this thing.
Right, exactly. So they could easily do something like that.
Yeah.
You haven't used the radio, right?
I have not used the radio.
I wonder, it probably works like...
I would use the radio if there was a station I wanted to listen to.
Right.
But there is not.
Well, KCRW or something like that.
Oh, that's true. I guess NPR, but...
But if you're on a hike, you load up with your music and or load up a
sometimes
podcast.
Sometimes I listen
like
to...
Tech-Bacon.
Yeah, I listen to a podcast on a hike every once in a while.
That's what hikes are for all you've out there. Listen to podcasts.
There's nothing. Well, you're in the beauty of nature. There's a hawk, and I'm listening to, you know.
Tech Bacon.
Right. Why? Did you not hear the rattle of the rattlesnake? No, I was listening to Ira Glass.
His American Life.
Right, yeah.
this American Life, while I was experiencing... This American Life. Sorry, I don't know. I don't really know what was going on with that.
That was my personal assistant, Scort Jold.
Scort Jold. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Jamie. So that, you know, that was the big iPhone launch this week. You know, the iOS 5. There were some iCloud. Did you sign up for iCloud?
Not yet.
I have an iCloud account. It's nice. I mean, There were some issues people were having, actually.
Is it? Do you find it? I mean, how much different is it than the Amazon?
What are you talking about? Service? Like the music match part?
Yeah.
I don't have the music match part of it.
Yeah.
I'm actually not sure if that's available to the public yet.
The music match. Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. It might be, but
I think it prompted me to do it with my phone, but not on my computer.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's you know, as far as the regular iCloud, you know, the mail, the calendar, the contacts, it's nice. It looks just like the Lion implementations of the mail, calendar, and contacts online.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't fully played with it, with the documents and, you know, being able to bring all that stuff up on the phone and, you know.
Right.
But it's I do know the first, like, day they had major launch issues. People are having trouble signing in. It was – apparently it's all fixed, but they kind of botched that first day.
That always happens, doesn't it?
Well, it happened with Mobile Me too,
yeah,
which was one of the big problems because people have a first impression of a new service,
yeah.
And if it doesn't work off the bat, and I'm not saying it's really anybody's fault, you know, but if it doesn't work off the bat, you have that initial impression in your mind,
right?
And a lot of people may not ever go back,
right?
And that's unfortunate, but that's how it works, and that's why, you know, these companies really need to launch strong and, you know, stable. And if you can't connect in,
so it's like going on a first date,
right? Exactly. You got to make the best first impression you can.
If you show up and you're not downloading the correct information,
then you're doomed.
They're not going to come back.
Exactly. Exactly. iCloud, bad first date. I don't know if there will be a second one. We'll see. We'll see. So there, well, I'm going to run down a couple of just like kind of news things that were going on this week. In the news. One of the – in the ongoing saga of Netflix. And we've made fun of this and we've talked about it and SNL made fun of it. And, you know, there was the whole we're going to split the company off into Quickster and Netflix and have the DVD only and the blah, blah, blah. And there's been uproar in the world and subscriber base is dropping on Netflix and blah, diddy, blah, diddy, blah. So what happens this week, Jamie?
They decided to say Quickster was a bad idea and merge the company back together again.
I mean, come on. Come on, guys.
They didn't even give it a chance.
It was so schizophrenic, everything
it's
about
like,
this.
It's like if I decided I'm going to give myself a nickname, right?
Okay.
Hey,
what would your nickname be?
I don't know.
I mean,
Ace Hunter.
That sounds like more of a adult entertainment.
That's
name.
A whole. Okay.
But okay, Ace.
Ace. So hey, I'm you got to call me Ace from now on. And then you say, that's really stupid.
And you're like, oh, you're
and
right.
I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go by Ace.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. I mean, the flip-flopping, it doesn't – it. To be honest, Netflix is a great service
yeah.
in general, you know, but this does not make them look good, and it's really putting a bad taste in people's mouths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that – I mean, don't you think?
I think it's actually a good decision.
Right.
It made them, you know, it looked like their pants fell down or something.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And everyone's always going to remember that, but that doesn't mean, you know, everyone has that moment where their pants fell down. You know, that doesn't mean they could have, I mean, if they kept pushing in Quickster, you know, down the road, it could have been the worst decision they ever made.
Right.
Is it better to look like an idiot for a day than to ruin your company?
Well, they might. I mean, I don't know. They might, you know, it could make them lose subscribers and then these people may never come back.
Right.
I mean, it definitely, the stuff with the price increase and the split and everything, they lost a ton of subscribers.
Yeah.
Because
oh,
of
for
that,
sure.
You know, and maybe.
But that's already done. That part's already done. Anyone that's still there is going to still be there. And,
sure.
And there's not a competitor that's even close. And so, do you know what I mean? There's no other.
Right. Well, Amazon's getting there, but yeah, they're
but
not.
But it's not
yet.
It's not even close. You know, it's like they're iTunes. You know what I mean?
Right. For now.
I'm not saying it won't change.
Yeah.
But they're the standard.
Yeah. No, you're right.
For the moment.
They are the standard. And being the standard, they're spending a lot of money. They just made a huge deal to acquire all of the content from the CW. All the CW TV, the back catalog of all the CW TV shows. the Gossip Girls of the world, the Vampire Diaries, the Ringer, the Heart of Dixie, my new favorite show.
I can't believe you admitted that.
I'm sorry, man. I love Rachel Bilson. I will admit that every day and twice on Sunday.
But it airs on Monday, so shouldn't you?
And how do you know that, Jerry?
I've watched it. Okay. I watched it.
I don't have the exact number of how much Netflix paid for this content, but it was big money. And, you know, they're still trying to make these big deals. And it goes to what they have – the kind of party line has been – over the past few months is they don't see themselves as a replacement for cable or satellite or anything like that. They're not the cord cutting solution.
Right.
You know, like what they're doing is they want to be the back catalog, the rental, the subscription solution in conjunction with all this stuff.
Right.
You know, I wish that wasn't the case, you know, but I understand it.
Well, it's that's why perhaps they won't always be on top, because eventually everyone else will move in a different direction and they'll become obsolete.
Right.
But well, for the time, they're like Blockbuster Video or whatever. Like, you know, Blockbuster Video, although it still exists, doesn't really exist how it existed when it was Blockbuster Video.
Yeah, you know, actually last night I had an experience. I was driving and there was a big Blockbuster Video, and it was actually surprising to see because you don't see them on every corner
anymore.
Was
it empty?
It was pretty late at night, so it may have not even been open. I don't remember. I think it was past midnight. But, you know, it was a big one in Culver City.
They used to be, like, on every corner.
Right.
And now there's only one in Culver City. Wow, what a difference.
Isn't that wild? Oh, wow. Blockbuster. Now, as far as Netflix goes, you use it on... Do you use it on your mobile devices and everything?
No, I've said before I don't really like watching things on my phone. I have it. I have the app there. I have watched stuff on it, but I don't really enjoy it. I use it on my iPad sometimes. We have a Roku box, and I watch it through that.
And actually, speaking of the Roku box, and this is going to kind of slightly go off course, but there was an article said that very soon, if not already, HBO Go is going to be available on the Roku boxes.
That's awesome.
Pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
I mean, you still have to be paying for HBO through your cable or satellite provider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
now I don't have to DVR HBO shows on Sunday night, and I can watch, you know, Sunday night has so much good TV on it. Like, I can watch whatever.
And I mean, there's tons of all the documentaries and all the back episodes of TV shows.
Comedy
and
specials.
Yeah.
The documentaries, it's great.
I mean, for me, wishful thinking is
all the first run movies too.
Yeah, all the first run movies on HBO.
Yeah,
and the big thing for me on this, the dream would be that HBO decides to say, you know, everyone else, you know, screw you. We're going to start offering an a la carte. You can just buy HBO Go and not tied to the cable subscription.
That would be, because HBO is,
they're the ones that can do it. If anybody's going,
well, they're
do
also
it.
The ones that really brought people to pay cable.
Right.
So that would just, you know,
like I
crack the foundation.
What I would love, and I just, I don't know if it's going to happen, at least not anytime soon, unfortunately, but I would love it to be the reverse of what it is now. You buy your HBO subscription and then you can use it with your cable subscription.
Right.
It's reversing. It's basically the reverse, because right now you pay the cable company and a percentage of that goes to HBO.
Right.
This would be you pay HBO and a percentage of that goes to the cable company.
Yeah, that would be way better.
You know,
that means they have more money to put into production.
Yeah,
and so that
it's a dream.
You get even even more quality shows.
It's a pipe dream. It's a pipe dream, but a dream nonetheless. A dream nonetheless. So also in the news this week, there was a big BlackBerry outage. Shocking. Not that they go out all the time, but huge, like, couple day outage for everyone that was using BlackBerries. This hurt them.
Oh yeah, man.
It started in Europe.
What's funny is every celebrity tied with BlackBerry. You think Perez Hilton and Paris Hilton and people that really, like, you, I associate with BlackBerries. Right?
Right.
Tweeted So not that I read there. I don't read gossip sites all the time, but I was reading about it. And like they were all like, I guess it's time to go to an iPhone.
Really?
Which I thought was funny.
That's interesting. And apropos timing for Apple, because the iMessenger now as part of the iPhone 5 OS.
Right.
Or iOS 5, you know, which is – we can talk about that for a quick sec. Well, hold on. Let's talk about BlackBerry for a little bit more. For, but they're all kind of – they tie together because that's the first thing I thought. I was like, oh, all these people that are staying on BlackBerry, this is going to piss them off so much. And then
man, people
now there's
like,
another solution.
People at talent agencies must have been going like all those people have BlackBerry. So like everyone at the big talent agencies must have been just
oh my
like
God.
Flipping their and that's how they communicate with everyone.
Everybody must have been freaking
man,
out.
Man, I feel sorry for the assistants this week.
Man, what
well, every day, but yeah.
You know, what I read was what caused it, and I have to double check this, but it had something to do with running a backup of their system. And it back and then when they were backing it up, it clogged the whole.
It got backed up.
They're backing it up, backed it up, and it, you know, it got clogged up. And just getting it back online is what, you know, it gradually just tore through the whole system and downed everyone that used a BlackBerry.
I hope it means they'll go away.
Wow, that is blunt and brutal, and I love it.
Well, I just, you know, it's one of those things. BlackBerry to me seems, and I don't want to insult anyone out there as a BlackBerry owner, but it feels like everything's moved beyond that.
Yes, I agree.
Like it's
they haven't kept up with the times.
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be. People can afford the like a similar product that is more modern. It's not like it's going to cost them an arm and a leg.
Right.
It has far fewer glitches and is forward thinking and all that sort of stuff.
Sure, sure. I'm curious to really see the fallout from this because I think it could, timing wise, it couldn't have been worse because of the launch of the iPhone 4S, the iOS 5, and the iMessenger.
Yeah.
You know, like Apple couldn't have timed it better because right at that point, this is going down and the next day, the iPhone 4S is coming out with an alternative to BBM.
Maybe.
Ooh, is there a conspiracy theory here?
I think so. I think someone, Apple smashed the BlackBerry.
Ooh, can we start a rumor?
I think we started it already.
Makes you think. Uh-huh. Listeners, makes you think. Just saying. I don't have any proof of this. I haven't read or know anything in any way, shape, or form, but it could be true. You never know. You never know. Have you used the iMessenger? Speaking of that,
no,
no, not at all.
No, not yet.
Actually, you have. You don't even know.
Well, then yes, I have. Did I use it?
No,
today?
I was going to tell you that's amazing because
you're tricking me. It's a conspiracy. You work for Apple.
No, I don't. The brilliant thing about it is you don't know if you're using it or not. Because if you're using it, sending a text through that to someone else with an iPhone and iOS 5, you sent through iMessenger. It just switches if they're already on it.
Huh.
So it makes it seamless for the user. And if you send a text to me who is on an iPhone, it just goes through text.
So if a tree falls in the woods, that kind of thing?
Yeah. it's like the stealth, you know, text killer, basically. Because all of a sudden it's in all these people's hands. And they're starting to not text message, but they're not really. You don't really realize what's going on.
Huh?
Very smart. Very smart. Yeah. I think it just makes it when you don't have to think about it. It's pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
You know, and hopefully the next step is you're going to be able to go on iChat and chat to someone on their phone through the same protocol, which would be pretty cool.
Right.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
You know, be pretty amazing. We're going to go to another news item, which is not happy news. So. I have to look up some information so I get it right because it's important. So there is a man, his name was Dennis Ritchie, and he was a programmer at Bell Labs for many, many, many years. He passed away this week. This guy created something called C programming, and it's basically a programming language.
Mm-hmm.
And C programming, he used that to create the Unix kernel. And we can start getting way crazy techie here, but it's...
Well, you can start getting
I'm not going to. But this kernel is the basis for pretty much everything in personal computing. The Unix kernel was used to create Unix, the Unix system, which Mac OS is based on.
Right.
The World Wide Web is based on.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much every programming came from this,
yeah,
from this Unix kernel. So everything we use has come from this guy. And, you know, he was very private, and, you know, aside from outside of the tech world, not many people knew about him. And he, you know, he was struggling with a long-time illness, and he passed away a couple days ago.
How old?
You know, I don't remember how old he was. I don't think he was that old. Let me look it up, and you can talk about something you don't know about.
When did this happen? When did he invent the Unix
kernel? You know, I don't remember exactly when it was, but probably we're talking like the mid to late 70s.
Okay.
Is when it happened. And, and you know, I guess was working on stuff up until somewhat recently, I guess. But, you know, there's a great article in CNN.com, or Wired, actually, I think, about standing on the shoulders of giants. And they were talking about Steve Jobs, and obviously Jobs, amazing. We were all, you know, sad about his passing. But this guy was the shoulders that Steve and everybody else was standing on.
Right.
So I just wanted to bring attention to, you know, to him, and just, you know, bring it up, Dennis Ritchie, because without this guy, we don't have anything we have today.
Right. We would we would have phones with the Commodore 64 turtle on it.
Exactly. You know, so I'll post a little thing to this article. You know, it's pretty, yeah. I guess it was 1973, by the way, when he published the C programming book. And so basically this guy created a language.
Right. You know,
and then that is what everything was built upon.
Wow.
Pretty incredible.
Very incredible.
Yeah. So, you know, read up about this guy and talk about him. You know,
I tried to start my own language, but no one took to it. No, that was terrible. Hey, this guy died. Here's a joke.
can I ask you something?
Sure.
What did that mean?
That meant I'm very sad for the loss of Dennis Ritchie.
See, there you go. Brought it back around. Well done, Jamie. Well done, sir. Well done. Now, this was, I don't know if it was, what's today? Saturday? Friday, Thursday,
wow.
Wednesday. God. Okay, so Wednesday night, I go online, right? And I'm reading up, I read my tech news and the blogs and the Twitter and, you know, all that. The Twitter. I just sounded
the
like.
Twitter. The Twitter. My mom says, goggle it.
Goggle
I went
it.
To goggle it.
So I'm reading all my tech stuff, and there's a post from these programmers who cyanogen. How do you the color cyan?
Cyan?
Is it cyan? Yeah,
cyan.
I think it's cyan.
Cyan.
I always mess this up, but it's cyanogen. It's a group of modders, a group of programmers that do Android development.
Right.
And they do their own custom ROMs and stuff like that. So there's been this competition going to get the Android operating system onto the HP touchpads that you know, that they all bought, you know, that I bought for $150.
Right.
And so Wednesday night they posted a little video showing it off, and at the end of the video there was a scrolling link. You know, they teased the whole video about when is it going to be released. We're never going to tell. It'll just come out. And at the end of the video there's a little link on how to download and install this on your touchpad.
Nice.
So me being me, this is about at midnight,
right,
on Wednesday night. I gotta go to bed. I'm tired. I get on the site. I log in, and by the way, I have to say the disclaimers on this site were hilarious. It was just like they basically said anything they could possibly say to make you not do it.
Right.
This will destroy your device. It will explode into a puff of smoke. You know, you will be scarred for life. You know what? Anything they could say to make you not do it.
Right.
For half a second, I thought, okay, maybe I shouldn't really do this. So then I did.
Yeah, of course you did.
Of course I did. I downloaded everything I needed to download. I installed it. It actually went very smooth for what it was. You know, this is an alpha release, and I now have Android running on my touchpad.
Nice.
And all of a sudden, it goes from a dead, non-supported OS to a full-on Android tablet. It's pretty amazing.
Terrific.
I showed you it a little bit. I mean,
Looked great.
Yeah, I mean, this is like an alpha release, so it's really buggy. It crashes a lot, but Netflix works on it. I can surf the web. Most of my apps work on it pretty well. The touch interface is great. The sound's great.
Surf the World Wide Web?
I can surf the World Wide Web. Or I can... Was that... What?
No, just surfing the web. That sounds... So, like, I don't know. It sounds like something people don't say anymore.
Yeah, dude, I'm surfing the web. I'm going to go outside and catch a wave.
Oh, man. That just didn't go well.
It turned this, I'm just so excited. It's really, it works great. It seems like the graphics are a little better for some reason than the web OS. The touch interface is smooth and fast.
Yeah, it was cool.
I mean, this, I was amazed that somebody was finally able to do this, but that was kind of why I wanted to buy the device in the first place.
Right.
To spend $150 on a discontinued device, and there's these amazing guys out there who don't get paid.
Yeah.
There's all these programmers. They don't get paid for this.
Right.
They just develop to develop. It's amazing.
It's like when E.T. made a speak and spell into a communication
he
device.
He just wanted to do it.
For the rest of the universe. Right.
Right. Yeah. He just needed to do it. That's all. It wasn't, he had no ulterior motives.
Well, he was trying to get home.
Well, that's true.
But home to you is having the latest technology. So.
Exactly. Home to, wow. And true. I'm trying to think what else about this touchpad. What's nice is it actually... I can boot it into Android, but I can also still boot it into WebOS. And apparently you can have a bunch of different OSs that you can boot from.
Oh, wow.
So eventually, who knows, when Windows 8 tablet comes out, it might be able to boot from that.
Oh, wow.
They kind of built it in to be able to do those kind of things. So it's pretty amazing. I'll put the links up on the site for where to get this information if you dare. it's not for the faint of heart, but... It works. It works, and it's incredible, and I can't wait for them to actually have a final stable release, because then every reason I bought this touchpad will come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
So that was and by the way, it was up till 3:30 in the morning working on that. Yeah. I was possessed. Like, if anybody were to see me, it would have been like I wouldn't have even known anyone else in the room.
Scott, what are you doing?
There was pea soup shooting out of my mouth. My apartment was a mess. So those were my adventures in Android porting high-tech goodness this week. And so, Jamie, you are going to give us one more tech thing. Jamie's the review man today.
Oh. There's a new Bjork album out, and I don't know how you feel about Bjork.
I like Bjork.
Bjork is a love it or hate it kind of thing,
right?
I happen to be a fan.
Tell people who Bjork is.
Bjork is
I'm sure most people
an know. Icelandic pixie elf who has a very unique voice. She's been around since the '80s. She was in a band called the Sugar Cubes, and then struck out a huge solo career, and has sort of been on the forefront of computer music, like electronic music.
Right.
Always. It's been, there was an album where it was just cut together from all natural sounds and all sorts of stuff. She released an album this week called Biophilia, and it's an app album. So you buy a mother app on iTunes.
So you have to buy the mother app, or is the mother app free?
You have to buy the mother app.
Okay, you have to buy the mother app.
I think it's $3.
Okay.
And then within that app, there are prompts to buy each song for $1 or something. And each song includes the song itself, and then also some sort of interactive app type thing,
right.
Some are video games, some are like music makers.
Is the song, when you get the song and the app type thing, is the song available in your iTunes? Like, can you play the music, or can you only play it from the app?
I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. I don't know about that, because I've only played them on the app, so
right.
I don't know. But
like, describe like one of these interactive.
So there, I'll describe a couple of them. There's the first one that came with. First of all, it comes for the first app comes with a song called Cosmology.
So with the initial purchase, you get
A very there's an orchestral song, and it when you first boot up the app, Sir David Attenborough comes on and sort of
narrates. Really?
Welcome to Biophilia or whatever.
That's
like it's
awesome.
Like it's one of those Life or Planet Earth documentaries. And the concept is she's sort of making music. She wants it to be totally interactive. Like she makes music sort of based on, I don't know, nature and the cosmos and
right.
stuff. And
very
so
metaphysical kind of thing.
Right, yeah. And so with each app, each app has some sort of each song has some sort of tie to nature. And so there will be a game or an interactive element that ties to what it's about. So like there's a song called Crystalline, and it's a video game where you're like gathering crystals. And the more you play, the farther you get in the game, the sort of more intense the song becomes.
Really?
Yeah.
So the actual song experience changes
as you play the game. I mean, you can just play the song by itself.
Wow.
Or you can play the game. There's another song That's called Virus, which I think this one's neat.
It corrupts your iPhone, and then you can never use it again.
Well, it's interesting because you have to sort of choose, am I going to play this game or am I going to listen to the song, the game? Because in the game, the song's called Virus. So if you just let – you're a cell, and you're trying to fight off the corrupt cells.
Right.
But if you fight them off, then the song won't complete itself. Because the song's like about a virus. You know?
Interesting. So if you lose.
If you lose, then the whole song plays.
Fascinating.
And it's very, it's very art installation-y.
Sure.
But it's neat. I like it.
Conceptually, really neat idea, though.
Yeah, and she used a lot of interesting instruments. They somehow used a Tesla coil and, connected a synthesizer to it. So
really?
She plays. There's a song
really?
Called Thunderbolt. And
she's playing like lightning?
Yeah, playing a Tesla coil.
Wow.
And so it's really interesting. It's not – I mean, if you're not a Bjork fan, you're not going to like it. It's very Bjorky.
But, Bjorky.
But, if you
– You're very Bjorky, Jamie.
I am. I'm very Bjorky. I'm a fan.
You're a Bjorkophile.
So when she goes on tour, this part's interesting as well. Some of the other apps, not all the apps have come out yet. The album's been released, but it's a slow rollout on the apps. Some of them, you'll be manipulating the music itself. But the really interesting thing, I think, is when she tours, not only does she tour with these instruments she's created, and some of the music itself was created on an iPad, but she'll tour with the Tesla coil, and there's this big sort of gravity gravity harp somehow uses the natural gravity to play the song. It's this huge,
weird.
Like 15-foot tall thing.
Interesting.
And then, but you're encouraged to bring your iPad to the show and are somehow going to be able to interact with the music.
With the show.
During the concert.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be amazing.
And then also, in each city that she tours in, she's doing. The tours are taking place not in like traditional venues, theaters or whatever. They're mostly all at museums, like science museums.
Oh, interesting.
And so when you buy a ticket for the concert, it's like a ticket for all day, and you go in and they're going to have
a ticket
for
like the experience.
Yeah, so you're going to have these whole things set up, like sort of interacting with each song. It's a really interesting concept. I mean, I don't see anyone else doing something on this scale? Maybe, though.
You know what, though? I mean, probably not on this scale, but it's such an amazing stepping stone for like this convergence of technology in your just like life.
Yeah.
And, like experience, like making instead of the technology and listening being a passive experience, it's making it an active experience.
Yeah.
And actually taking the media and using everything that one would say makes us sit back and be lazy and engages you and actually takes it to another level.
Right.
And I
it's
love
interesting.
This.
I mean, so far, I'm more in love with the concept than I am with with the content they've put out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting, but I don't see myself repeatedly playing these games or anything. It's sort of like going to an art show or like a video installation thing. You watch it and you're sort of like, wow, right. I was affected by that. I don't know if I'm ever going to watch it again.
But let me ask you this. After playing the games with these songs, I think, won't they make you think of the songs differently from now on?
Yeah.
Like when you if you just listen to the song, your perception of that song is now changed.
Yeah, a little, yeah, absolutely.
You know? So I mean, it's kind of storytelling almost, you know.
Right. Like
it's almost the new form of a music video.
Right.
I feel.
Yeah. Well, there's been a couple of those really neat music videos that were super interactive. There was an Arcade Fire one where you like,
oh yeah, that was
you
amazing.
Put your home address in, and they sort of used Google Earth to incorporate the address you put in into the video.
Yeah, like zoomed down and like actually went to your home street address and like had a guy running on your street. It was that was amazing.
Yeah, there's been a couple of videos that the guy that directed that, I don't know his name. Directed that video has done a series of them for different different artists, and I know that whoever collaborated with Bjork on the Biophilia album, she collaborated with a specific designer who's done all these really interesting online ad campaigns and has created a bunch of interesting apps. And he's like a very famous French designer.
Oh wow!
Who's like really in the world? So it was a true collaborative. Project.
Oh, interesting. That's really neat.
But it's worth checking out. I don't, you know, if you don't like Bjork, you probably won't like the music, but
have you tried it on your iPad?
That's what it's for, the iPad. Okay. Like it doesn't, you can kind of on your iPhone, you can kind of
play around with it, but it doesn't
the same. It's not the same thing.
Cool. So, what was the name again?
And there's also with each song, there's like an essay written by, you know, some expert in the field. There are some of the reads are a little tough, you know, sort of like, okay, you know, it's like when you search, when you are self-diagnosing, you know, on the internet and you're like,
right.
Type in your symptoms and you get some of actual medical papers, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and you're just like, I don't understand this. Like WebMD, where are you?
Yeah, this doesn't make sense.
I don't think.
Completely over, am I reading English?
I don't think I have Legionnaire's disease, but this is convincing me.
I don't.
Although I've never been to the Playboy Mansion, so that's the only place that Legionnaire's disease still exists. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that, but that's really strange
Legionnaire's
information,
disease is
Jamie.
It was a big story a couple months ago. It's some odd sort of vaguely 18th century disease that has incubated in the hot tub at Playboy Mansion, I swear.
For real?
Yeah, for real. And there was a whole slew of people that had gone to a party at the Playboy Mansion and got Legionnaire's disease.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow. Wow.
It's surprising that that's the only disease they got at the Playboy Mansion.
You know what that makes me think of? Food. No, just kidding. I didn't know how else to get into the next thing. It was just like, where do we go from there? We are going to talk about food, actually. We're going to
surprise.
Surprise, I know. Well, this week's food is not really on the realm of delicious food, per se. This week's food segment is even I make mistakes. Let's just say that. as I have attested here on the show, I have an affinity for ice cream. I like ice cream.
Yes, I'm more well aware of this.
I like many desserts, but I really like ice cream.
Cookies and ice cream. Those
cookies
are top too.
This is true.
If you mix them together, then who knows?
Right. Well, yes. They have cookies and milk Ben & Jerry's ice cream.
They have cookies and just regular milk you can buy at the store.
Yes, you can. And you can make it yourself.
Right, yeah.
So there's been a crazy heat wave going on here in Los Angeles. It was, you know, 100 degrees a couple days ago. I mean, it's been hot.
For anyone in part of the country where it gets really hot, that's not that crazy.
It was hot. It was hot for October.
Yeah, my family's from Texas and there's like 200 straight days of 106 or something.
Not in October.
Well, October is the hot end of September.
Yeah, in
October
LA.
Is when that's the hottest time of the year.
It's true. It's true. It does get really hot here. So because of this heat wave, I was craving ice cream. Only because of the heat wave. I don't crave ice cream other times. And I decided to not – instead of going for ice cream, I was going to go for yogurt, frozen yogurt. And one of the big trends in the frozen yogurt realm, and I think they're popping up all over the country, are the pour your own frozen yogurt. You know yes. what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. The like TCBY, but you pull the lever and you decide yeah. for yourself.
And then they weigh the yogurt and right. toppings, there's and that's how much you pay toppings. For it. Yeah, yeah. So you know they have like 10 different toppings, and you can get a little taster cup and go in.
10 different flavors.
Sorry, and a lot of toppings. And you get a little taster cups, and you can go and taste the different flavors. And the place I went to was Yogurtland. You've been to Yogurtland?
I have been to Yogurtland.
Yogurtland, I like. It's usually very good. I can't say I've had a bad experience with them until the other night. And now let me preface, this is not Yogurtland's fault. This is all no. my fault. I got a little overexcited in my choosing. So they had love fall flavored, holiday flavored desserts. You know, I've spoken about the pumpkin spice latte. I love pumpkin pie, which will be talked about, I'm sure, at some point in the next month. I love my pumpkin chocolate chip cookies. All
gingerbread.
All gingerbreads of the world. The eggnog latte. I can go on and on.
Nutmeg macaroons.
Interesting.
No, that sounds gross. No, it sounds gross. No, nutmeg is gross. Nutmeg is gross. What is nutmeg for?
I don't know.
Not me.
Not me. I like it. They had a pumpkin flavored yogurt. And so I had a little taster. I tasted the pumpkin pie.
Now, was this one of the sour type yogurts?
No, it was not.
Like a pink berry situation?
No, this was not. And okay. So it was a pumpkin pie sweet yogurt.
Right.
And I tasted it. It tasted great. Mm-hmm. It really, really was good. And, you know, I tasted a couple of flavors. They had cheesecake and they had chocolate and they had one of the flavors I love that they have. I didn't get that this time, but they have vanilla wafer yogurt.
Right.
Which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So I decided – okay, I have to have the pumpkin, right? So I pour some of the pumpkin, and I'm just like, okay, what's going to go with the pumpkin, right?
Right.
And I'm like, okay, cheesecake, because pumpkin cheesecake is great.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a good.
I've seen that at the Thanksgiving table.
Yes. So I put in the cheesecake, and then I'm like, well, you know, what would you normally put some like whipped cream on top of the cheesecake or something. So I'm like, all right, maybe I'll just put some vanilla bean in there also, right?
So I think that's your first misstep.
I think the first misstep was the first pour.
I think cheesecake may have been your first misstep.
Yeah, I think it was too. So then I get to the toppings area. I have my three favorites. They look very pretty in the cup. I did a good pour in three quadrants.
Did you get the swirl?
I got the swirl. I got it down. I used to work at TCBY, buddy.
My little sister was a manager of the TCBY.
As was I. I think we've spoken about that. So I get to the topping bar, and normally at the yogurt place, I like to use some fruit toppings. You know, I like to put some strawberries, blueberries, or whatever, raspberries. But with the pumpkin, it didn't feel right to put any of those fruit flavors in. Right. I think it would have been weird. So I decided to go, okay, I'm going to go chocolate chips. So I put some chocolate chips on. I found some pie crust. There was pie crust that you – like graham cracker crust that you could put in there. So I put some of that in there. I put some chocolate chips. And then I felt like I needed like a liquid topping. And so I put fudge in there. So I get my concoction, and something inside me knew it wasn't right. Yeah. Like even before I tasted it, something was telling me, you messed up. You screwed up. I walk out the door. I have a spoon, right? I walk out the door. I take two bites of this concoction, and I keep walking, literally throw it in the garbage on my walk home.
Now, I have a question.
It was horrible.
Could you have thrown it away and then started over? Can you go to Yogurtland and pour a whole thing and be like, eh,
this is
and
terrible.
Then toss it before you even taste it?
I don't think they'd let you do that. I mean, I'm sure if you threw a fit, they would.
Yeah.
But it was awful. It was so bad. I couldn't eat. It was so bad. Everything about it was bad. It was the pumpkin mixed with –
I think it's the cheesecake. I think it's the cheesecake.
It was everything.
Cheesecake, yogurt – just sounds disgusting. It's so like you like
it's not sour, though. I've had it before.
But what? But
cheesecake, cheesecake, yogurt, and with strawberries and blueberries.
Yeah, but you're not. You didn't vomit every other flavor in the store on top of it.
It kind of looked like it too. The you know what? I figured it out. Really, what the key was, if you're gonna get pumpkin yogurt, you have to go just pumpkin yogurt. Like you can't mix it with anything else. It doesn't go. It really doesn't go with anything else.
Any other yogurt flavors?
Any other yogurt flavors?
You can put some pie crust on it.
Some pie crust on it, and you know maybe some actually some whipped cream.
Right.
Would maybe work, but man, or some caramel. Maybe caramel.
No.
You got to stay simple. You got to stay
maybe
simple.
Maybe Scott, you shouldn't visit Yogurtland anymore.
No,
take away your passport to Yogurtland.
But you know, normally I'll do like I do the vanilla wafer and some, you know, and chocolate maybe or vanilla and cheesecake, and then to me the key of these soft serve yogurt places, I like the fruit. Like right. I like adding the fruit. I think it adds.
So why don't you just eat some fruit? Just go to the store and get some fruit.
Huh. Fruit. That's an interesting concept. So like a caramel apple, you mean?
No, just an apple.
Chocolate covered banana is what you're talking about?
Yes.
I'm not following fully here.
Blueberries not in like a simple sugar
like blueberry
syrup,
pie.
Just blueberry. No, just a fresh blueberry.
Wow. You're kind of blowing my mind here, Jamie. I don't know about this. I don't know if I can handle that. So baked peaches.
You can't handle the fruit.
But so just to end the story, to top it off, I had such a crappy taste in my mouth from this. I actually went to the store and bought a pint of Ben & Jerry's ice cream, the strawberry cheesecake, by the way.
Wow.
And to get it out of my mouth.
But okay, does the strawberry cheesecake ice cream have pieces of cheesecake in it?
No. It's cheesecake
flavored ice cream.
Yeah, with like a crust swirl.
That doesn't sound good to me.
It's really good. It's really good. It's really good. So there is my unfortunately bad experience, dessert experience. Those are few and far between, but I felt like I had to share that with everybody.
I would like all the yogurt places. I would like it to cut back a little. I'm not like
too many flavors, too many toppings.
No, not that. The amount of them. It's sort of. Do you remember in sort of the early to mid 80s, there was this like boom of flavored popcorn stores.
I don't know. They didn't really have that.
Maybe it was
where they bought them in like the tin and stuff.
Yeah, but it was
they were all in the mall, like in the mall.
Yeah, or in a strip mall. Like, but they had 25 flavors of popcorn or something.
They still kind of have those at Popcornopolis and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But,
it's not like a big boom.
It was a boom. Yeah. It was like when Starbucks started booming,
right.
It was flavored popcorn. And I, even as a kid, I was like,
much.
Why are there so many popcorn places? This is not right. It feels like that with the do-it-yourself yogurt.
They're like
me.
Everywhere now.
Yeah. I mean, Pinkberry came around and, you know, all the variations of that kiwi berry and mango berry and berry
right.
berry. That's a disease.
And you're better good.
And I didn't really care for that. I don't like – if I'm going to eat something that tastes like regular sour yogurt, I'm just going to eat yogurt.
Right.
You know? I don't really care for the it in frozen form.
Yeah, I get it sometimes.
I mean, but I am also not
– I don't love it either.
I didn't just come from yoga class and I'm not
a
girl.
Also, you know, like the –
Sorry.
Pinkberry.
I just – that was very sexist of me.
It really was. It really was. I don't know if I can invite you back to the show, Jamie.
I think Pinkberry is for girls. I'm sorry. I'm saying it right now. Pinkberry is for girls.
It's like Tricks are for kids.
Right. Yogurtland is for everyone.
Yes, it is. It is the land of yogurt.
And then your Ben and Jerry's, your Cold Stones. That's for all American dudes.
Yeah. Your ice cream.
But no. Okay, that's basically my big problem is that all these ice cream places have been sort of replaced by the yogurt places, it seems.
Yeah. For the most, I mean, there's obviously still ice cream places.
But I mean, and
but
not
the
that
new
I,
big trend.
I don't even eat that much ice cream. But when I want some, and like, you know, I wanted some, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago, and I went to where I thought there was a
ice cream place.
Yeah, and it was now
a yogurt land,
Menchie's or a yogurt land.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, that's a bummer.
A lot of the Cold Stone locations, or at least around Los Angeles, are now like yogurt lands.
Yeah,
which is kind of funny. It's definitely gone that route. I'm curious to – you and I spoke about this the other day. I'm curious to see what the next trend is going to be in the ice cream yogurt
I don't
market.
Know. I don't have any ideas. I had an idea the other night. I can't remember what it was.
It was just kind of a back to basics ice cream parlor.
Oh yeah,
you know.
But I mean, those are always, if it's good, that will all people, those will stay open.
Right.
I mean, the chains come and go.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like as a kid, the place we went to was Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
It was always like the post T-ball, you know.
Yeah.
It was Dairy Queen or whatever. Then it moved to TCBY.
Yeah.
After that, but then I think it moved back to Dairy Queen. It was like a battle between
TCBY and Dairy Queen. We had several variations. We had the Marble Slab.
Marble
Slab. Which was sort of Cold Stone before Cold Stone.
Interesting, interesting.
We had a place called the Soda Saloon or something.
Oh, interesting.
Which was an sort of old-timey soda shop.
Oh, really? Did they make like...
milkshakes, like, and...
shakes and stuff like that.
Malteds.
Malteds.
So, malteds. Ice cream sodas.
Yeah.
Egg creams. They didn't make egg creams, but if there had been...
I used to make egg creams when cream...
What is an egg cream?
It is cream with... No.
It's pumpkin, it's vanilla.
If I recall, it's like soda water with chocolate. It's like have you ever had chocolate phosphate, which is like soda water and chocolate? And
do I look like I'm from 1937?
and then egg in it. To be honest, I could be completely wrong and not remembering this right.
There might not even
be
egg
a milkshake
in it.
With egg. No, I believe there is egg
right
in it. I used to have to make these when I worked at a deli when I was when I was in college, like during the summer. But I can't remember what exactly. I could
so
ask
it's
my
like
father
chocolate
would
soda
know
with an egg in it.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, that does not sound appealing, but it's been around for a long time.
If you were an old Jewish man, then you would. That's what you would always.
Right.
My grandfather.
Maybe
loved
that's
it.
Why they didn't make them in Texas. There's only like five Jews.
So egg cream is chocolate syrup, milk, and soda water. That is what, there is no egg in it, actually.
Weird. Why do they call it an egg cream?
That is a good question. I don't know. It contains neither eggs, cream, or ice cream.
That's really weird.
You know, there was another, it used to be called also a chocolate phosphate, is what I used to make, that same concoction. And let me tell you, I was damn good. I could make a mean chocolate phosphate, and I hated them. I didn't like the way they tasted at all.
It
I've never
sounds kind of gross.
Yeah, it's like chocolate soda water.
Yeah,
very weird. I think maybe it's just because like it gets
like a
frothy.
Fizzy Yoo-hoo.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Fizzy Yoo-hoo, buddy. Fizzy you?
No,
I don't know. Yeah. All right, we're going off the rails here. I think we're gonna call an end to the show. Thanks for listening. It has been fun as always. Thank you, Jamie Dooner, for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for listening to me.
As always, you can check us out on iTunes. Please give us some ratings and reviews. That's a great way for other people to find us. You can check out, you can follow me on Twitter at ScottyG7 and...
BSTRDMONKEY on Twitter.
And do you want to say what that spells, Jamie?
It's bastard monkey, but there are no A's in the bastard. I don't know.
It's if you want some weird, crazy internet stuff, follow Jamie.
Not that weird and crazy. Yeah.
Fun,
not like links to.
No. Listen, like we're a family show here. We're a family show here. Just quirky, weird internet.
Well, weird crime scene photos. Like,
right.
Like,
of course. Well, that's
funny.
Different. All right. On that note, have a great weekend.